بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد The foundation of our iman is basically on three things tawheed risalat and belief in the akhirah We are here because of Tawheed, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made Salah Faraz on us. That is why we are coming over here. But how to perform the Salah? We need Risalat. But after that, how many of us think of the Akhirat? While reading Salah, before Salah, after Salah. Not only salah, whatever else we do. How many of us think of the akhirah? Ki wahan jawab dena hai. We have to account for ourselves there. We're supposed to hold our hands this way. Many people hold it this way. It shows that akhirat ki fikr nahi hai. What I've just demonstrated is a small thing, but take ruku and sajda for instance. People go into a sajda, legs are hanging up, not touching the ground. Like that, so many other things. Which shows that we don't have the fear of the akhirat. Namaz to padte hain, ruku sajda karte hain, lekin kis tarah? How? Allah ki marzi ke mutabik, like hamare marzi ke mutabik. According to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to our wishes. Buzrugan-e-Deen is so particular about every position in salah. Qiyam, ruku, sajda, where the hand should be, etc. So anyway, three things I've mentioned, Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. Take Nikah for instance. Alhamdulillah, nikahs are performed in the masajid. That is our custom, alhamdulillah, according to the sunnah. But after that, nikah in the ijtima. No expenses, alhamdulillah. But the reception and the walima in the ICC. Where is the sunnah? I'll just tell you one thing, if you can digest it. Very difficult to digest. But let me tell you something, because I've learned something from my Shaykh, I'll pass it on to you. In 1985, when I went to Jalalabad, I told my Shaykh, Hazrat, 2 saal huwe hai, 2 years now, I don't attend any walima, I don't attend any shadi ka khana. I don't go and attend any wedding reception, any walima. Yes, if the nikah is in town, I attend the nikah in the masjid, but I don't travel for nikah. You know what he tells me? The simplest ibadat in Islam is nikah. The least expenses. But we have made it so expensive. People have to take loans to get their daughters married. He tells me, shadi ke din ladki ke yahan khana to koi hai hi nahi, There's no such thing as food or feeding from the bride's side on the day of nikah. There's no such thing in Sharia. The only thing that is there is walima, that is also optional, not for as a wajib. If you have the means, well and good. But if you don't have the means, don't have to go into expenses unnecessarily. You know, then what he tells me? This is what I want to tell you. Logo ko sharam bhi nahi aati. Ladki ke yahan khane jaate hain. And people ashamed of themselves to go and eat at the girl's place. Very difficult to digest, I know. Because when you invite people, or when people come for the nikah, then so many people are invited. Okay, they come from far and wide. So you got to, you feel obliged to feed them. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. How many people were invited for the nikah of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala? From far and wide? Just a handful. And did he feed anybody? We feel obliged. We feel it's for us. Hamari izzat ka sawal hai. It's this question of our izzat. That was not what I was going to tell you, talk about. I was going to talk about something else, but this came into my head, by the way. Tawheed, Risalat, and the Akhirat. Many things in our lives we do, but many times something that is in our heads, in our minds, which is going to affect our Akhirat. And because we don't talk about it, it's all inside, it's not written on our faces, on our foreheads, because we don't talk about it, this goes on and on and on. We don't know what's the state of our iman, what's the state of our salah. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi's Ustad, he was the chief Ustad at that time in Deoban, Hazrat Mullah Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. He started reading one namaz, and shaitan comes and put waswasas, doubts in his head. Okay, when you made wuzu, you did not make masah. Masah nahi kiya, you left out a faraz. To wuzu nahi hua. Jab wuzu nahi hua, to namaz bhi nahi hui. Very strongly this waswasa came. He broke his namaz, made masah, complete the wuzu, and he started again. Next namaz, the same thing. He broke the namaz, made masah, and started. This happened for several times. After a couple of days, he realized this is shaitani waswasas. The more I give in, the more waswasas he's going to put in. So now when shaitan comes, he says, you didn't make masah, wuzu nahi hua, namaz nahi hogi. What he says, in his mind, he's not talking, but in his mind he says, ha nahi kiya, nahi kiya, I didn't make masah. Wuzu nahi hua, ha nahi hua. Namaz nahi hui, namaz nahi hui. Main isi tarah padhunga. I'll read namaz the same way, just like this. What he's doing is making muqabla of shaitan. Next namaz come, no waswasas. Shaitan realized, yahan to ke bhajini pakwani male. Nothing is going to happen over here. Shaitan stopped putting waswasas. I'm sure many of us go through all these things. Waswasas. Now we have various types of waswasas. One waswasa is, many people ask, I don't know whether my namaz is qabool or not. Somebody mentioned this to Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayh, ki maalum nahi ki meri namaz qabool ho rahi hai ya nahi. And he says, when you read namaz and then you come for the next namaz, it shows that your previous one has been accepted. Isiliye to tawfiq hui hai. That is why you're here again. If, I mean, this is how to fight these waswasas. Waswasas are very, shaitani waswasas come in very, very strongly. So strongly you will not realize how they come in. I was making imamat once in Lady Smith. It was Asr Namaz. And I had a feeling that urine is dribbling along my thigh onto my leg. I'm thinking now whether I should break my namaz and check or not. Anyway, I thought, no, let me finish my namaz, then I'll go and check. You know, so strongly I can feel the water going down. I completed my salam. Before I could sit this way, I just got up. I told everybody, just sit, please. I'm coming just now. I went into the back storeroom, checked myself. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is how how convincing shaitan was for size. Makes you feel that your whole thing is wet. There's nothing over there. Older people will go through all this more than the younger ones. But today even younger ones have this problem. A person just got married recently. Before he got married, he says he's got waswasas. He's dribbling. So anyway, this is a sign of weaknesses, physical weaknesses. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayhi is Khalifa. Majsoob Sahab, Hazrat Azizul Hasan Sahab. Yeah. He had this problem of dribbling of urine. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh advised him, you just got to forget about it. Uski taraf khayal hi na karo. Don't pay any attention towards this, that you get it, you got dribbling. Hazrat Thani, he told her, but Hazrat, it dribbles. And they told me, iska koi ilaj nahi, koi wazifa nahi. There's no ilaj for it, there's no treatment for it except turn your attention away. He was sorted out. We had one person in AIDS with the same problem. I told him the same thing. These are all shaitani waswasas. I said, can you put your head down, take qasam, okay, I'm dribbling. No. So there you are, these are all waswasas. If you can take qasam, that yes, I am dribbling, then of course this is haqiqat. Otherwise these are all waswasas. Doubts. Just last week here in Durban, one person, an old man, 84 year old, asked me, he said, I don't know whether my wazoo is breaking or not because I feel I'm passing with it. I told him, aapka vehm hai. Do you smell anything? Is there any sound? He says, no. He says, aapka vehm hai. Unless and until you don't disregard it, you can't get over it. And there's no wazifa for you. I met him again after 1 week. He said, jazakallah. We learn something from our kabirin, our mashayikh. I'm passing it on to you. If anybody has such problems, you've got to fight shaitan. Don't give in to shaitani waswasas. The more you give in to shaitani waswasas, the more he's going to trouble you. And you become pareshan. There's one person, oh, I forgot. He makes wuzu and he reads namaz. His wife complains. He reads isha namaz. In the masjid, when he comes home, he has a doubt. I don't know whether my wuzu is sahih or not. He makes wuzu and repeats his namaz. Wuzu, namaz, right from after Isha till midnight. Isha namaz. His wife tells me he doesn't want to sleep, he is doing all this all the time. Please help him. I must help her. Because he's not spending time with his wife. On the musalla all the time. I told him, look, you've got to come and stay with me. But he hasn't come yet. So this is what, it wrecks you, shaitani waswasa, wreck your brain and your physical self too. Some years ago, normally I read my Fajr Sunnah at home. That time we didn't have the masjid. Ladies, we have the musalla opposite. So I read my namaz there and then I come and open. I give azan and I make tilawat until namaz time. But that particular day, I read my sunnat at home. After I finish, doubt come in very strongly. I didn't know whether I read one rakat or two rakat. So I repeated my sunnat. I finished. Before I want to go to the Jamaat Khana, the doubt comes in very strong. I don't know whether I read one rakat or two rakat. I can't remember. Now it's time for me to go and open. So anyway, I said, let me go there. Open, give azan, and I repeated my two sunnats. I finished salam, and again the thought comes. I didn't know whether I read one rakat or two rakat. I repeated four times or five times. By that time, somebody else had already come into the masjid. And then it was time for Jamaat. So after that, I said, no, I must carry on now. I made Imamat. So one person tells me, Hafiz Sahab, I thought you were Sahib Tartib, but now you're reading Qazai Namazes, Qazai Umri Namaz. I said, no, it's not like that. I was affected by doubts, by waswasas all the time. I couldn't just, every time I finish, I don't know whether I had one or two rakats. It was only then, after Faraz Namaz, I realized these are shaitani waswasa, and I remember this waqia. Unless and until we disregard it completely, the shaitan will get the grips over you. And you can't save yourself from shaitani waswasa. Well, I don't know how much of time I have. Okay, I'm talking of doubts, but now a different type of doubt. I'm talking of the akhirat. Something that happened last year. A 93-year-old man in suit and tie, very prominent and very successful businessman. He tells me he's been reading Namaz regularly with Jamaat. He used to drive him. He still drives himself. He tells me, Hafiz Sahab, one day after Namaz, outside the masjid, yeah, I want you to come home. I want to speak to you. So he gave me the time. And I went to his place. Gave me the time, 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon. I reached there just before 2:30. He was already standing outside waiting for me. Outside his garage, with his garage open, he's waiting for me outside. 93-year-old man. I said, why are you waiting here? He said, I don't like to keep my appointees waiting. If I made an appointment, I don't like to keep them waiting. One of the qualities, as we go along, just remember the qualities of this old man. Very successful business. See what he thinks, how he thinks. He called me inside, he sat. He tells me, I have lots of doubts. I have lots of doubts in deen. Before I die, I want to clear the doubts. What do you think? Thinking of the akhirat. Tawheed and Risalat is there. I'm thinking of the Akhirat. So before I die, so I'm already 93, I want to clear all these doubts. I said, there's so many ulamas here in the town. Why didn't you speak? He said, no, I want to speak to you. I said, okay. He started telling me. And every time he gives me that the doubt, he wants to know why. Why? Why? I listened to him, I let him speak out his mind first. Then I told him something. I said, after my first Taraweeh in 1961, you had presented me, amongst other things, did I send this waqia before? I don't know. With a silk pajama. So when I went home that day, we were staying here. You see this melons on top of the Popatlal Karaja? We were staying in that house. My father had built that house. So I came from Maritzburg. I went there. I showed my father. The so-and-so gave me this pajama, amongst other things, because I made Taraweeh my first Taraweeh. He looked at that thing. You see, it's a silk. This is silk. It is haram. You can't wear it. I was very disappointed. A beautiful silk pajama. He said, I can't wear it. He said, you must return it. The weekend, Sunday, I went back. Monday morning, I went to his shop. Or one day afternoon, after school, I went to his shop and I told him, this is what happened. My father said, you can't wear it, it's haram. I said, okay, take something else from the shop. That was in 1961. 1972, I landed in Jalalabad. It's a long story how I landed there. Sometime if you want to know, we can talk about that too. During my first few weeks, I had this thing worrying me. Why silk is haram? I had been given something, it was so nice. My father said, it is haram. But then, in those days, we couldn't speak to the fathers. If he said something, finish. No argue. So anyway, I returned it, but it was troubling me. So I told one of the South African students, an alim, now is an alim, I told him at that time, look, I want to speak to Hazaji, but I want you to come with me. And I told him the whole story before we went over there. I couldn't speak Urdu at that time. So he told us that the whole story. And he told us that he wants to know why. Kyun? Why silk is haram for men? Hazrat tells me, deen ke maamle mein kyun ka sawal nahi paida hona chahiye? In matters of deen, the question why shouldn't arise. Don't think we haven't got the answers. We've got the answers. Lekin ek kyun ka jawab denge to dusra kyun uthega? If I give you the answer to one kyun, one why, another why will stand up. Why? Because you don't know the basics. Then he gave me an example of algebra. He says if you put x into y is equal to xy. X times y is equal to xy. You're going to ask me why. That y comes in because I don't know the basics of mathematics. Alhamdulillah, that was enough for me. From that day till now, I never had to ask the question, why? But shaitani waswasa still come. Now and again, shaitani waswasa still come. We are all affected by this. Shaitan said, he's not going to leave us. That was his wada. In namaz too, outside namaz too. So this man, I told him this. Alhamdulillah, he was the one who gave me this silk pajama in 1961. And he was the one who created this doubt in my mind. I mean, because of the gift. And I was not satisfied in 1972 when I went there to Jalalabad. Hazrat sorted me out in the same method I sorted him out. What was his reason? He wanted to know, he wanted to clear his doubt before he leaves this dunya. He knows now he's on the deathbed. Any time now. 93, how long is he going to live? I told you the first quality. That meant he was waiting for me, he was expecting me, he was waiting outside his gate, on the pavement. And now, he's worried about the akhirah. Ask yourself now, how many of us in this one day have been thinking of the akhirah? Ki wahan jawab dena hai, wahan khada hona hai Allah ke samne. Hardly ever. Very few. Now I'm going to tell you some other qualities, nothing related to waswasas. Very prominent businessman. This happened sometime when he was still working, now his sons are running the business. He tells me one day, his female staff, the manager, comes to him. She says, these three African staff that we have, or four of them, they are given tea break from 10 to 10:15. But they're always coming in late after tea. They're coming after 10:30. You must speak to them. So what he did? He called all of them. He didn't tell them anything about the complaints of the other staff, of the manager. He tells them from today, from tomorrow, your tea break is from 10 o'clock to 10:30. You see how he sorted the problem, huh? Your tea break is from 10 o'clock to 10:30. And he tells me why. He says when they go over there, all the staff go there, the urns are there, now they've got to stand in the queue. By the time the turn comes, 10 minutes are already gone. So when they going to drink the tea, when they going to eat the sandwiches and all that? He never told them anything about it. He didn't scold them or anything. What a businessman. Then another problem arose. Again, the manageress and a few of the female staff came out, Indians. He said, these people, we want to work somewhere else. We don't want to work here in this department. Why? He said, their bodies are smelling. We can't tolerate them. Their bodies are smelling. He didn't tell them anything. What he did, he called his sons. He says, build two showers there, in the back. Two showers with soap and everything, towels and everything, put them there. Then he called them. When everything was ready, he called them. He says, from tomorrow when you come, you go first in the morning, take a shower, and bring a space, set of clothing, change your clothing, in the older one, the one you keep, take out, take it home for washing. So now there's no smell. When they come in now, they must go for a shower first. He tells me, these people stay far away. To come here at 8 o'clock, they have to leave home at 4 o'clock. They got to walk to the bus stand. From the bus, they got to go to the station. From the station, they got to come here. From the station now in town, they got to take a bus. And then from there, they come running to be here in time. Naturally, they must sit. At home, they got no time to bath. When they get up at 4 o'clock, they have to start having a bath. They must, in the winter time, they must start pumping the paraffin stove. Where they got time for all that? True, what they say is right. The body is smelling, but you can't blame them for it. So look how his mind is. He made the showers, and he sorted them out this way. Anyway, that was about him, about his qualities. Not really vasvasas, but the mind wandering in Salah. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullah, it was the end of his life, writes to Shaykh al-Hadith sahab, Mullah Zakariya sahab in Saharanpur. He says, aaj tak maine koi ek namaz bhi puri tawajjuh ke saath nahi padhi. My mind is always wandering. Up till today, in my whole life, I've never read one namaz with full concentration. Shaykh al-Hadith sahab writes back, so you talking of one namaz, maine to aaj tak ek sajda bhi is tarah nahi kiya. I haven't made one sajda this way. What are you talking of one namaz? 2 weeks ago, I was with Mullah Mufti Razaul Haq, going to see him after his knee operation. I told him this. And then I told him, their khayalats, not like our khayalats, their mind drifting is in dini matters. Our mind drifting in namaz, in business or in food. He says, yes, unke khayalat aur qisam ke hote, hamare khayalat aur qisam ke hote. Anyway, the maqsad for this little advice or talk was this. If we have any doubts, don't sit with them. Remember, any time our eyes can close, be prepared for that. Don't go with doubts over there. You can't clear your doubts over there. Everything, haqiqat will open out over there. Do it here. We have got ulamas over here. Speak to them. That's the only way to do it. There are many other waqias I can tell you, but for the time being, time is up. I promised only 25, 30 minutes, but then, older ones will get lots of problems with health issues. Younger ones will get problems with waswasas, with aqidah, why this, why that, why this, why that. The general rule is that deen ke maamle mein kyun ka sawal paida nahi hona chahiye. In matters of deen, the question why shouldn't arise. The moment you do that, shaitan is behind your back. Finish. You can become so distressed in this. Allah Ta'ala Help us to remember all these things at the appropriate time. Grant us jet with the iman and take us away from this dunya happily without any doubt. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الشك في الحق بعد اليقين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.